Seeing ourselves as God sees us. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and that's supposed to be verses 1 through 5. You'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. In just a moment, we'll be reading from Isaiah. You know, sometimes we don't see ourselves as we really are. We don't see ourselves as God sees us. Have you ever seen somebody that thought they were pretty attractive, and in actuality they weren't? You ever seen somebody that felt like they were smart and just had it all, and in reality they weren't quite like that? Have you ever seen somebody that thought they was God's right hand on earth and was doing everything, you know, and so, and really their effectiveness not that good? God has a problem with us sometimes seeing ourselves, you know. And so this morning I want us to just think about that thought just for a minute. Seeing ourselves, look at ourselves, like God is looking down upon us. God has a problem with us many times, seeing ourselves as He sees us. We're born selfish, and we have to change. You don't have to teach a kid to be selfish. You don't have to teach a kid to say, that's my toy, my this and my that. They're born like that. You have to teach them to share. And we're like that too. And we have a lot of I in us, you know. Have you ever told somebody else you're talking about the church and your conversation is something like this, I think so-and-so ought to happen? Don't raise your hand now. Do you ever in a business meeting, when something's up, I think we ought to do so-and-so? I think, you know. Isn't it better to say, God, show me what your will is? And then when you get to the thing of talking about it, say, you know, I think the Lord showed me maybe this is the way we ought to go. We get in trouble with I think, you know, sometimes. Without depending on God. That's the selfishness. What we have to combat every day of our lives is to be able to see ourselves. Get the eye out somewhat and see what God would have us do. In Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 1 reads like this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, but mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was a good man. If you'd have seen Isaiah before these verses, you would have said Isaiah's got it. He's really serving the Lord and doing great things for God. But yet, one day, Isaiah, as he was thinking about his life, thinking about God, and he saw the Lord, and guess what? Look what he said, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Amazing that Isaiah would say this, but the reason he did, he saw the Lord. He saw himself. He saw himself. You know, if we could see ourselves really as God sees us this morning, there'd be decisions all over this church of things that we need to do. if we just really saw ourselves as we really are. Isaiah saw himself. And when he saw himself, he began to see how inadequate he was before God. I want to give you some examples, both of those people that saw themselves as they were, and then I want to give you examples of people that saw themselves as they thought they ought to be. And just you be thinking about as we go through this morning, you just be thinking, what about myself? As I see God and I'm closer to God, and we do see our hearts a lot better when we're closer to God. The closer we get, the more we truly see our hearts. Over in Matthew, the 8th chapter, some verses of Scripture that about the centurion that I want us to read. The 8th chapter, verse 5 through 8. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievous, tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I want you to know the centurion was an army leader. He was a leader over 100 men in the Roman army. Roman army was a proud army. They had beaten everybody in that area of the whole world. So they were a proud army. This man being a leader in the community and people thought so much of him. And yet when he come in the presence of Jesus, notice what he said. I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Boy, it doesn't sound like that proud, maybe, centurion officer, does it?
He saw the Lord.
Then he saw himself. And said, don't even come to my house. I'm not worthy. And we go on down to the 10th verse. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Saw himself as he got in the presence of Jesus. Over in Luke, the 5th chapter, Luke the 5th chapter and verse 8, let me tell you the story before I read it. Peter and the other disciples were out fishing. They'd fished all night. Some of you fishermen, you understand how it is to go fishing and not catch any fish. And they hadn't. Fished all night, hard, had not caught a fish. And so they came in as they gathered up their boat there. There was Jesus cooking some fish there on the bank. And as Peter approached, and the disciples, Jesus said, back off a little and cast your net overboard. Now, normally you did that out in deep water, on out in there when you cast your nets. That's where the fish were. But Jesus had commanded them to do it. Cast your nets overboard. And so they did. And then they drew those nets. And they were so heavy, they could hardly get them in the boat. It seems that they would break. And then Peter saw himself. And in verse 8 of that 5th chapter, here's what he said. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter saw himself. And when he did, the humbleness, falling down before God. I read over in Revelations, I believe it's the 4th chapter. 24 elders. Now this is coming, things are going to happen out in the future. 24 elders were approaching Jesus. You say, who are those 24 elders? I don't know. The Bible didn't say. But I'm just running through my mind. I think maybe the 12 greatest people in the Old Testament, people like Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Elijah and on and on, I think. And maybe in the New Testament, some of the disciples and maybe people like John the Baptist and Paul. That's just speculating. But those 24 elders had crowns, as God is going to give us crowns for everything we do in this life. They had crowns just stacked on their head. They could have been proud. They could have said, I serve the Lord. Maybe I'm the 24 greatest that ever was. But what do you suppose they did when they approached Jesus there with all those crowns on their head? They fell down at His feet and cast their crowns before Jesus. They realized, they saw themselves. They had every right to be proud and march up to Jesus with those crowns, but they didn't. They saw themselves in relationship to Jesus. And there they were laying those crowns before Him. Do you see the commonality of all that I've said? Seeing Jesus. And when we see Jesus, then we look at ourselves. And we see ourselves as we really are. Over and over, we're told this in the Bible. Now let me tell you, you can tell when a person is closer to God or far away from God. And here's one of the ways you can tell. The person that says, you know, I do this, I do that. The Christian says, I'm contribute here, I do all these things. Let me tell you, they're the farthest from the kingdom of God. They're Christians. But when we go to bragging about what we do, that gives a hint they're not close to God. Because guess what happens when we're close to God? But we see ourselves and we humble ourselves. A lost person. You go to witness to him. He said, well, I'm a pretty good person. I do this, I do that, I do all these things. Hard to be able to win a person like that. They're seeing themselves good. Seeing themselves as many deeds that they've done. I had a lady in my church many years ago. She's dead now. But in her prayer, I can still remember that prayer. Lord, open the eyes of the lost where they can see their need. I can still hear her praying that. And that is so true. You know, when you're witnessing, you try to witness to them, say you need Christ. Oh, I live a good life. I'm a good family man. I'm doing all these things. Hard to win. Further from the kingdom. We got to see ourselves as God sees us. And when we do, a lost person will come. A person that's a Christian will get closer to God and will do those things that God wants them to do. These people did when they saw the Lord. Now I want us to go to the other extreme. I want to go to those who, as they see themselves, they see the goodness in themselves and not how they really are. The Pharisees over in Luke, the 18th chapter, we find out about the Pharisees and in verse 10 through 12. And two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a Republican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed, thus saith himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, I do this. You see the I again? All the things he's saying, I'm glad I'm not like this publican over here. He's only seeing as he wants to see himself. He's not seeing in the relationship to God. You know, God condemned the Pharisees all through the Bible. When we're talking about what Jesus did on earth, you'll see him condemning the Pharisees and this hypocrisy that he's really getting on the Pharisees about. Not seeing themselves like they ought to, but thinking they're proud. And because of that, the Pharisees could not be saved, Jesus said. And the other one, reading on down through the scriptures, the other man here in verse 13, the publican. You know what the publican said as he thought about his relationship to Jesus? He smote himself on the breast and said, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me. I don't have anything good of myself. Please have mercy on me." What a contrast. And you know what Jesus said, the one to be justified. The one that begged forgiveness and the one that really saw himself. You know, I read about in John the 3rd chapter, Nicodemus. He was a leader of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader in the community. He's a person that you would just look up to in the community. But he came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, and Jesus would explain the kingdom of heaven, Nicodemus couldn't understand it. Nicodemus couldn't see himself. He saw himself as good, as a leader, as a Pharisee. And so he walked away without Jesus. Now we have hope there. You remember Nicodemus was one of the ones that claimed the body of Christ. And so I believe somewhere in that process he finally saw himself and was able to make things right with the Lord. But Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus that first time, couldn't see himself. He said, I keep the laws. I keep all those laws. But he liked one thing, Jesus said. Humbling himself and repenting and asking Jesus to come in his life. And then I see the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. And he wants to know about his life. And so Jesus, over in Matthew, the 27th chapter, Jesus begins to talk with him about it. And he too kept the commandments. He too was living a good life. But he was rich. And the money meant so much to him. God doesn't care how much money you have, but he cares where your heart is. You can have millions of dollars and your heart beat right. There's nothing wrong with it. But where your heart is, it really matters. And the rich young ruler just couldn't understand it. And he said, "You must trust Jesus as your Savior. Repent of your sins." He couldn't do that. He couldn't see that. And the saddest words, as he left that way, it says he went away sadly. Couldn't make the decision. Couldn't see his heart. Couldn't see his heart like it really was. And then one other example. You've heard all your life, perhaps, the story of King Belshazzar. That's in Daniel, the 5th chapter. Belshazzar was a great king. He had conquered the known world. He gave a banquet. And at this banquet, he invited all the people that were anything in the kingdom to the banquet. And it was just out of this world for those times what he had at the banquet. First of all, the people had arriving there in clothes of purple. And you know, in the Old Testament, that was the best clothes you could have. And so they were just dressed to a T. As they came in to celebrate with jewelry, rings, all over, expensive in those days. And as the king prepared the table, the food was the finest food that could be found. The silverware, the china, everything was just the finest known on earth. Music, dancing, they were living it up. They were rejoicing. They were paying tribute to Belshazzar. And he was eating it up too as the banquet continued. But in the middle of that banquet, on the wall, there was a hand that appeared. No body, no arms, just a hand. It would begin writing on the wall. Can you visualize today if suddenly we're sitting here and we look up and there's a big hand there and it begins to write on the wall? That's what happened there. Everybody just quiet from the music stopped and everything was perfectly quiet. The king grew pale. He didn't know what was going on. And so he continued and he wrote a sentence across the wall of their banquet hall. And he began to try to interpret, and he couldn't interpret. And he called his wise men, everybody to interpret. Nobody could interpret it. Finally, somebody said, I know somebody can, Daniel. Daniel does that kind of thing. He can interpret that. So they brought Daniel in. And Daniel was able to read it. And here's what it said. You're weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Now here's a king that had everything. Had everything. If you ask those people about that king, they say he's the greatest. If you ask Belshazzar about himself, he'd say, I'm the greatest. But guess what? In the presence of God, he was nothing. What a sad ending, because soon after they interpreted that handwriting on the wall, the enemy army came in and began to get in the banquet hall and kill Belshazzar and many of the people that were there. He had a great estimate of himself. But he couldn't see himself like God sees him. This morning, first of all, how does God see you? If he would evaluate your life and my life this morning, how would God see us? And if we evaluate ourselves, how do we do it this morning? It would say, you know, Lord, I go to Grants Creek, I teach, I do these things. No. We need to say, Lord, I'm very humble today. Maybe I need to do some other things that you would have me to do. Maybe I need to quit some things I'm doing. Maybe I need some changes in my life. You see, seeing ourselves as God sees us. God hates the proud. How many times in the Bible he states that? He hates the proud. Those who think they can do it. Rather than, God, you give me the strength. You give me the help so that you can use me. Not me, but you working in me. God blesses the humble, those who are willing, and those who see their own selves as God sees them. So this morning, I hope during the message you've just thought about, what about me? Am I seeing myself? Are there changes that need to be made in my life as I see myself really as I am? And that would be my prayer today, that I would see myself and you would see yourself as God sees you. Let us pray.